Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Now this morning's first scripture reading comes from 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 10. Our first reading today tells the story of how Samuel was called by God. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight was begun to grow dim so he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the Ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Where am I?" And ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lay down, and if he calls, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling us as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Now the gospel reading is John 1, 29 through 42. And from the Gospel of John, we hear, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one about whom I said, He who comes after me is really greater than me because he existed before me. Even I didn't recognize him, but I came baptizing with water so that he might be made known to Israel.' John testified, 'I saw the Spirit coming down from heaven like a dove, and it rested on him. Even I didn't recognize him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, The one on whom you see the Spirit coming down and resting is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this one is God's Son.' The next day, John was standing again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus walking along and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard what he said, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he asked, 'What are you looking for?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which is translated 'teacher.' 'Where are you staying?' He replied, 'Come and see.' So they went and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two disciples who heard what John had said following Jesus was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is translated as Christ. He led him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas,' which is translated as Peter. This is the word of God for the people of God. May we be blessed in our hearing."
Let us pray. Eternal God, we are listening for your gracious word, made flesh for us in Jesus Christ. Call us to come and see where he leads, and teach us to believe in his name. Help us to do as he tells us, so our lives might be signs of glory. Amen. So So one of the anthems of my generation, Gen X, was written by U2 in the late 1980s. And begins like this. I have climbed the highest mountains. I have run through the fields. And it goes on and then it says, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Now, it's no secret that the members of U2 are people of deep, deep faith. And even though they write songs that are secular, their songs are full of religious imagery. In fact, this song titled, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, is a gospel song, according to the guitarist, The Edge, on the Rattle and Hum DVD. It's a gorgeous yet haunting song. Haunting for our generation at that time, as we were really trying to figure out, you know, who we were. You remember what that was like, don't you? No matter your generation, you had a time in your life and you were trying to find yourself. Maybe you've had multiple journeys of self-discovery in your life. I've had a few. Maybe you're at a transition point right now. You're searching right now. What are you looking for? These are the first words Jesus speaks as written in John's gospel. What are you looking for? Do you even know? Or is it one of those things where, oh, you know it when you find it? What are you looking for? In your heart of hearts, in your secret and quiet places, what are the hungers that drive you forward in your life and in your faith? What are you looking for? You know, I think this is a great question to be asking here in the Epiphany season. Yeah, this season is all about the revelation of who Jesus is as he begins his ministry. But as we discover who Jesus is, we're also discovering who we are in light of who Jesus is. What is Jesus' epiphany revealing about us? What aha moments are you having as you discover Jesus anew this season? What are you looking for? This is a question that I've really been pondering this week, especially as it relates to Jesus' baptism last week's, and that we just heard last week's text, and Jesus' question in this week's reading, and the call stories we'll read next week when Jesus calls his disciples. What are you looking for? I'm also not really surprised that when the disciples who first hear Jesus ask that question don't answer it. Maybe they didn't know the answer. Maybe they thought it was a little too personal, Jesus. Maybe they just didn't know what to say. Whatever the case, they respond by asking their own question. So, where are you staying? I think that what they were trying to ask before deciding whether or not they were going to follow Jesus is something like, where are you going? Where exactly are you headed, Rabbi? With which political or religious faction are you aligned? Because if you remember at that time, there were lots of them. What will our home look like if we hang out with you? What's your end goal for your followers? Tell us what to expect so that we can understand what we're committing to. It's like that for us too. Don't we want need to know before we say yes to something what's going to be expected of us? And so how did Jesus respond? Come and see. In other words, we have to follow Jesus all the way if we want to know where he is and what he's about. Jesus refuses to be pinned down. He won't fit into any box we try to stick him in. At times, Jesus isn't easy to seek and to find. And the path that leads to Jesus will become clear only as we start to walk it. Which begs the question again. What are you looking for? Part of answering the question of who are you is figuring out what you are looking for. At least in my experience, it's a question that's always in need of an answer. Searching, seeking, finding. These are the things Jesus is calling us to do. Not once, but over and over and over again. This is a key component of discipleship. Not to hurry to reach the end goal, but to pursue it ever more deeply and intentionally. Cultivating a mindset of curiosity, a seeker's perspective, if you will, a willingness to see and be seen. Jesus' invitation to come and see, it's an invitation to leave our comfort zones and to dare to believe that just maybe, we've been a little too limited or wrong in our certainties about each other, about God, about the world. To come and to see is to approach all of life with this grace-filled curiosity, worthy of further exploration. To come and see is to enter in the joy of being deeply seen and deeply known, and to have the very best that lies hidden within us, called out and called forth. Of course, just like hearing, seeing is always selective. We have choices when it comes to what we look at, what we prioritize, what we name, what we call out in each other. The selves we present to the world are layered and messy. And it takes both love and patience to sift through those layers to find what lies at the core. But there's great power in that sifting, isn't there? Something healing and holy happens to us when we are deeply seen, deeply known, named, and we're accepted. Our reading from John's Gospel today is not just about our seeing. At its core, it's about what Jesus sees. It's a story about Jesus' way of looking and about what becomes possible when we dare to experience his gaze. Jesus looks at John's disciples and calls forth their hunger, their curiosity, their hope, and their trust. Jesus looks at Simon and sees Peter, the rock. He looks at us and sees what lies beneath all the fumbling, the fear, the mixed motives, the doubts. It is the gracious vision of Jesus. And it is the vision we are called to practice in a world that too often judges and condemns at first glance. Is there anything, after all, that feels lonelier than the experience of being unseen, being misunderstood, of being prematurely dismissed? Is there anything more life-giving than the experience of being seen for who we really are, deep down, beneath the fragile defenses we hold up out of fear? What are you looking for? To be seen for who you are. To be known completely. To be loved unconditionally. Through our baptism, Jesus promises us these things. In our naming as a beloved child of God, and that's what you're named as, no matter what you think, you are a beloved child of God. In our naming as that, we are invited on this journey. In our searching and our finding, we are granted this capacity to make this a reality for those around us as well. Here's the thing. Only when we have been seen in the profoundly healing way of Jesus will we find ourselves able to see others as beloveds of God. It is when we have been loved right down to the core of who we are that we find the capacity to embrace other people as Jesus embraced every disciple, every sinner, every doubter, every believer who crossed his path. In Jesus, you are seen, you are known, you are loved. May you know this deep, deep in your soul. May you seek the way Jesus seeks. May you love the way he loves. May you bless others the way Jesus blesses you.
Thank you.